Blog Talk Radio.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in its sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Good afternoon, dear saints. Good afternoon to all of my beloved brothers and sisters. God bless you. How are you doing today? I hope you are doing well. Well, I hope you love Jesus. I hope you love Jesus. I'm in love with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I can't get enough of Jesus. I cannot get enough of the Savior. I can't get enough of music, of hymns, of spiritual songs that just talk about how wonderful he is, how marvelous he is, how glorious he is, and how he is soon to return for a bride, a church, without spot or wrinkle. A church, not dressed in purple, not dressed in scarlet. He's not coming for that church. That is the apostate church. The church dressed in purple and in scarlet, talked about in Revelation 17 and 18. That's the harlot church. That's the paganized church. That is the demonized church. That is the contaminated church, the church that wears the purple and the scarlet. The church he's coming for is found in Revelation 19. And she only has one color. She only gets dressed in one color. You know that when you go to a wedding today, you are expecting to see the bride. You don't expect to see the bride in purple and in scarlet. The one up there at the altar, ready to exchange vows, you don't see her dressed in purple and in scarlet. In the days of Rome, those were the colors worn by prostitutes. The color which has been, since time immemorial, kept. She's dressed in a white dress. Even people who get married a second time use an off-white. They use an off-white, which is indicating to everybody, well, this is their second go-around. And today's broadcast is not about marriage and remarriage or divorce. That's not what today's broadcast is about. But as you can see, even people who get married, even women who get married a second time, will have an off-white or a little beige. Never, never purple and scarlet. So Revelation 19 tells us that those who go to the wedding of the Lamb are dressed in fine linen, and the color of that fine linen is, are you ready to attend the wedding? I am. I am. I can't wait for the Savior to crack the sky. I can't wait to hear the blowing of the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised up, and we who remain alive shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air and to be with him forever. What a blessed hope for the today's church. And we've been talking about this fantastic book that has come out, Jackass Bishops. What a book. What a book, if I may say so myself. What a book. It's a great book. It is the first of 12 books just like it. The next book, Draconian Tsunami, Draconian Tsunami, which we're going to be talking about a few verses. Today we're going to be touching on a few verses that deal with Draconian Tsunami, because a lot of this subject matter tends to overlap. But the second book, if you thought the first book blew your mind, wait till you get your hands on the second book and the third book. The book entitled Episcopal Fashionistas, that's dealing with all of the Roman Catholic garb, the mitre, the crozier, the pectoral cross, the cassock, the Roman purple cassock. That book, Episcopal Fashionistas, boy, that is a, I'm telling you, when you find out what these garments mean, when you find out what the real meaning of these garments are, and why are these bishops, these episcopus, why are they wearing these garments? And when you read the information and then you look at the bottom of the page of your book and you see those footnotes, because the author isn't just talking, you know, just to talk. No, he's documenting what he's saying, and then he's putting where you can find that information for yourself right at the bottom of the page. Because the author's not making stuff up. The author is researching, writing, editing, praying, researching, writing, editing, praying, so that he can put in your hands some of the best stuff ever written on the subject. So you have this book, Jackass Bishops, you have Draconian Tsunami, you have Episcopal Fashionistas. Wait till you read the book, Lesbo Bishoprics. Lesbo Bishoprics. That's another book in the 12-book series. That one deals with the fact, why is Satan now in these last days ordaining female bishops? Why? Why? What's all the rush now? What's all the rush? Well, the author's going to tell you why. and he's going to document it in that book, Lesbian Bishoprics. How the ordaining of female bishops is fostering in the church spiritual lesbianism. It's going to blow your mind. How about another book in the series, Simonic Succession? You know how these people claim to be the successors of Simon Peter? Well, in Simonic Succession, the author tells you how really they are not the successors of Simon Peter. In reality, they are the successors of two Simons, a retarded Simon and Basilic Simon. That Simon is Simple Simon. You played the game Simple Simon Said Do This. Remember that little game you used to play as a kid, Simple Simon? Simple Simon Said Do This. Do this. Remember that game? Well, the author's going to show how these so-called bishops of today who claim to be the successors of Simon Peter are not the descendants of Simon Peter. They are the successors of Simple Simon, a retard. And how also they are the successors of Simon Magus. That's right, Simon Magus, the gentleman found in Acts chapter 8, who tried to buy the Holy Spirit from Peter and John. And Peter turned to him and said, "Thy money perish with thee, for you thought that you can buy the gift of God with money." That's where we get the term simony. And you notice that everything for the church, in the church today, everything but everything, is for sale. Bishoprics are for sale. Archbishoprics are for sale. Pastorates are for sale. Miracles are for sale. Wealth transfers are for sale. Breakthroughs are for sale. Deliverances are for sale. Peter and his co-apostles never took money for anything. Anything. So, folks, there's a series of books coming out in 2017, 12 in total. I just gave you the names of a few, and I just gave you a little bit of what each one is about. There's 12 books coming out in 2017 that should spark some kind of a reformation. It should cause the church to start thinking. It should cause the church to start asking the question, what are we involved in? What have we gotten ourselves into? And so, would you pray for us? Would you pray for this ministry? Would you pray for all that we're doing? Thus far, let me report to you, thus far, people have been emailing, they've been purchasing the book, and we only make it available in PDF format. There was not a publishing house that would have taken this book and the other 11. They just weren't interested. So the author really doesn't have any money to put the books in paperback or in hardcover, which is even more expensive than paperback. There's no advertising dollars. There's simply nothing. But, you know, we take comfort in the fact that all Martin Luther did, all the great reformer did to spark the Reformation was he took a hammer and a nail, and he took a document that he wrote out called the 95 Theses, and all he did, he had no internet, he had no way of emailing, he had no way of communicating by means of radio, he had nothing. All Martin Luther had was a hammer and a nail and a document. That's all he had. And then, of course, he had God on his side. the hammer and the nail. The hammer and the nail. That's all he had. There was nobody financing his reformation. No one. He wasn't even calling it a reformation. Luther himself wasn't even. He just wanted to ask some questions. He wanted people to think. He wanted people to start talking, people to start discussing certain issues, church issues. And all he had was a nail and a hammer. And God made that thing take off. So we're not crying here because we don't have advertising dollars to promote the book. We're not crying here because we don't have the money to put the book in paperback or in hardback. We're not crying. All we're doing is we're asking you for your prayers. We covet your prayers. I need your prayers. I need you to ask God to bless this book, Jackass Bishops. Why? Because, look, folks, maybe your eyes have been opened. Maybe you're part of the remnant church. Maybe you will never find yourself going to one of these crazy churches. But how many people do you know who are technically lost? They're really lost if they're following one of these crazy bishops and they're propping up one of these nutty bishops. They're lost because they're part of the harlot church. They're part of the harlot establishment. We need to rescue those people. The author's not just writing these books because he wants to be famous. He can care less about that. He just wants to get the message out. That's all he wants to do, get the message out. He wants to reach people with the gospel truth. He wants to save souls. This is not a money-making venture. I can tell you it's not a money-making venture. Penny that the author has made thus far, he has turned it back into the other books. This is not a money-making venture. So, God is answering our prayers. People are purchasing the book. People are visiting the website. If you haven't purchased your copy, just go to the website. Is simple. Pagan, P-A-G-A-N. Pagan Bishops, B-I-S-H-O-P-S, PaganBishops.com. It's simple. PaganBishops.com. PaganBishops.com. Just go to the website and purchase your PDF copy. You can only get it in PDF form. You can read it on your tablet. You can read it on your computer. Those who have purchased it love it. They have no complaints. And we're asking those people, each person who has purchased a copy, we let a week go by and then we send them an email and we're asking them if they will endorse the book. And when you go to our website, you will already see. Now, a great many of you who purchased the book have not responded. A great many have not. And we would love to have your email endorsement because we will post it on the website. All we're going to do is post your first name and what state you're from. We're not giving anybody your email address. We're not giving anyone your last name. We're just giving them your first name and what state you're from because we want to show that people throughout America, people throughout the United States, are reading the book and endorsing the book. So right now, we're doing extremely well. Considering, we have only been on one radio broadcast. That is Sister Susan Puzio's prophetic news broadcast. We were on there the day that we launched the book, November 19th, and we're going to be back on this Saturday. She wants us to come on this Saturday and talk more about the book, and I'm ecstatic about that. So we've only been on one radio broadcast, and all we're basically doing is this radio broadcast, And I've been praying for someone to help me with social media, and the Lord has answered my prayer. He gave me a wonderful young lady, a faithful young lady, who has done a Twitter and a Facebook page for us, and she's managing it, by the way. Not only did she make it, but she's also managing the Facebook page and the Twitter page. So I don't have to deal with that aspect of it. And I need to apologize to some of you. I was very, very busy yesterday. And what I was doing yesterday was I was using Block Talk Radio. I was using their equipment, their audio, to record short commercials to put on YouTube. Now we have a YouTube channel. It's called Jackass Bishop News. Jackass Bishop News is a YouTube channel, just like this broadcast. Jackass Bishop News is a radio broadcast. So now we have a YouTube channel. And what I was doing yesterday, and I need to apologize to a great many of you, because you saw something that was posted, and it was recorded, and then it quickly disappeared. And I did that four times yesterday. And what I was doing was I was recording short commercials, so then we can take that audio and put video to it and then put it on a YouTube channel to advertise the book. Because we're trying to use every social media tool there is to get the book out there and get people to know about the book. So we did four commercials. Now, next Sunday, don't tune in, because I'm going to be doing the same thing next Sunday. Next Sunday, I'm going to be recording all day using the Block Talk Radio studio to get good audio so then I can download that and then use it for commercials. And so please forgive me for not letting you know in advance that that's what I was doing. Some of you thought that you were having problems with your computer and that your computer had a bug only because you saw stuff before that was no longer there. I do apologize for that. Well, we've been talking about a five-step plan that Satan has to destroy the church from within. A five-step plan. Destroy the church from within. And in the book Jackass Bishop, there is a chapter on this. And the author does a magnificent job of talking about the Trojan horse and what the Greeks, how the Greeks used the Trojan horse to get the Trojans to accept the gift. And that's why a saying has developed throughout time, and the saying is, beware of Greeks bearing gifts, because those of Troy, the Trojans, they accepted the wooden horse gift from the Greeks, and unbeknown to them, there were some Greeks inside the wooden horse, and when the Trojans went to sleep, the Greeks came out and opened the gates for their fellow Greeks, and the city of Troy was conquered from within, the Trojan horse. And so the book, Jackass Bishop, deals with how Satan is always trying to infiltrate the church. And when he comes in, you don't see everything that he brings with him. You don't see everything that he brings with him. But he brings a lot of things that will ultimately destroy your fellowship. And so Satan has a five-step plan. It begins with first, infiltration, second, paganization, third, demonization, fourth, contamination, and then it ends up with annihilation. So we've already dealt with infiltration. We've already dealt with paganization, and today we want to cover the subject of demonization. Demonization. And that's a very, very, very important subject that we need to talk about. Before I do, before we get there, I just want to play this hymn. There is power in the blood, power in the blood, power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb of God. Let's hear this song. There is power in the blood.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
You know that there's power, and I know that there's power because we've been transformed. We have been changed. And when we sin, we go back to the cross. We go back to the blood. We go back to the Savior. We go back to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. There is power. I got saved in 1975, 76, and you say, why 75, 76? It's got to be one or the other. Well, I went to a New Year's Eve service 1975. We got to church at 10 p.m., and by 12 midnight, when the preacher was making the altar call, I ran up, and a few minutes after midnight, I'll say 15 minutes after midnight, I was saying the sinner's prayer, giving my heart to the Lord, January 1st, 1976. So it was a 1975-1976 conversion. And there was power in the blood that night and that early morning, and there's power as we speak today. There's power today. Glory be to God. Saints, we've been talking about Satan's five-step plan to destroy from within, infiltration. We've read the scriptures. We've defined what infiltration is. We understood. We came to understand how it is Satan's ultimate goal to get a foothold in your church, to get a foothold I share with you that Martin Luther said, if you invite the devil over for dinner, you can forget it, because you're going to have a hard time asking him to leave. And it is so true. Once the saints in a local church open the door to the devil and his minions, once the devil gets a foothold, once he gets his foot there, now you're trying to close the door, but you can't close it because he's got his foot there blocking you from closing the door. And he will worm his way in. He's been worming himself into all kinds of situations, all kinds of organizations, all kinds of churches since time immemorial. You know, this is why when people raise chickens or raise livestock, for example, when you raise chickens, one of the things that you need to realize is that if a predator can get his, for example, you take a skunk. If a skunk can get his head through the chicken wire, if the skunk who you're trying to keep out, whatever predator it may be, a snake, if the snake can get its head through the chicken wire, it's going to get its body through the chicken wire, and that's it for your chickens. Wolves were known. Wolves, packs of wolves. A pack of 10, 15 wolves. If you have a sheep coat is a circular den where you keep your sheep at night to protect them from the elements, the weather, and from predators. And a sheep coat is made up of stone. Stone on top of stone. It's a stone circular wall that has only one entrance. And wolf packs, once they sniff out the fact, once they get a scent and they realize that there are sheep on the inside, you know what wolf packs will do? Tunneling. They will start digging. They'll start using their paws, and they'll take turns. When one wolf gets tired of digging and pawing and trying to tunnel, the next wolf comes in, relieves him, and they will keep tunneling until they get to the other side and have access to the sheep. It's called infiltration. The enemy is always looking. That's why in the Bible, prophets are spoken of as watchmen on the wall. The reason why you had watchmen on the wall in the city of Troy, and you had watchmen on the wall in Jerusalem, and the reason why there's a whole book in the Bible called the Book of Nehemiah, which is dedicated to the building of a wall. Why was Nehemiah trying to build a wall? To keep the enemy from coming in. To keep the enemy from infiltrating. So our goal as shepherds, our goal as pastors and teachers, our goal as saints is to watch and pray. All of us are supposed to watch and pray. All of us are supposed to be watchmen. Because we have common predators. We have common enemies. And the enemy would love nothing more than to infiltrate. Jesus says not only will wolves tunnel in, but Jesus said wolves will also masquerade. Wolves will try to look like us, sound like us, talk like us. Wolves, that's right, wolves. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Why? Because they want to infiltrate in order to have access, in order to annihilate. So we talked about infiltration. And the book Jackass Bishop does a phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. I think it's one of the best things I've ever read on infiltration. And Satan is looking to infiltrate. And Satan will use all kinds. Or you've heard of stories, especially now during the holiday season, how you will have people who will come and say, I work for the utilities company, and I would like to have access to your basement in order to check the meter. and they come in with a uniform, and you let them in your house, and you give them access to your basement, and then when they come up, they have guns blazing. Well, it's a crook. It's a criminal. But, you see, the criminal had a story. The criminal had a uniform. And the criminal wants to infiltrate. Now, once he's in the house, he'll tie you up. He'll go through your things. He'll ask you if you have a safe in the house. Because they're looking to do damage. That's why you can't give access to everybody, access to all people to your house. You have to be very, very, very careful. Very careful in all things. You know, don't give a hitchhiker a ride. You know, you want to do someone a good deed. Someone is on the road. They're sticking their hand out. The next exit is 20 miles, and you see this person from afar, and you start asking, should we give them a lift? And you know, if you do, you don't know what you're letting into your car. You just don't know. You just open the door to who knows what. Infiltration leads to paganization. What is paganization? Well, when we speak of paganization, we're talking about the flooding of. We're being flooded with pagans. Being flooded with pagans. When a dam breaks and there's a community below, the water spews out. And when the water comes down upon the whole community, it floods the whole community. It covers the whole every inch of the community covered by water. That's the best way to explain paganization. You are being flooded with individuals who have kooky notions about religion. Kooky notions. Bizarre notions about God. And these notions are not based on the Word of God. Now, they seem to be religious. They seem to have religious beliefs. But it's not of God. It's not based on Scripture. They talk about God, but when you hear them describe God, you say, who is this God? Who's this God they're talking? It's not the God of Scripture. When you hear them talk about angels, it's not the angels of the Bible. When you hear them talk about salvation according to Scripture. So to be paganized is to be overwhelmed, to be flooded, to be inundated with people that have crazy spiritual ideas. Crazy spiritual ideas. And when Satan infiltrates the church, then he opens the door to this kind of flooding. You're being flooded with people, human beings. Now, these are humans. These are human beings with the craziest notions. The craziest. The craziest. One time I was out with my son. My son has autism, and he and I are out, and he wasn't having a good day. He was not having a good day, and he and I were out in public, and a woman came over. I would say this woman was in her 70s. She was in her 70s. And she comes over, and she says, you know, I work with children like him. And I said, well, that's nice to know, ma'am. That's nice to know. And then she looked at me. She says, you know, that silver cord that hangs over his head has been disconnected. I said, excuse me? What did you say? She says, don't you see the silver cord? The silver cord that hangs over his head has been detached from the divine. So I said to my son, come on, son, we have to leave. Have a nice day, ma'am. See, that's a pagan. That's a woman with New Age theology. Out of this world, Twilight Zone, Outer Limits theology. That's what we call a kook, or others would call a cuckamonger. That lady was a cuckamonger. I mean, far out, way out there, way, 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 way out there. And this is what we have in the church. We have people coming into the church, and they talk about prayer and spiritual warfare, and I had this vision, and I saw this, and the Lord said to me, and when you look at everything that they're saying, none of it lines up with the word. All of it has a pagan basis to it. I'm an avid student of comparative religions. I like knowing what the false religions teach. And when you listen in today in the church, when you listen to people speaking at the church, you can say, well, that person took from this religion, and that person took from this religion, and that person took, but none of it comes from the Bible. So today in the church, we are being flooded. Our pulpits are being flooded with people who have bizarre ideas about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the church, ministry. I mean, just bizarre stuff. Bizarre. And much of this has already been taught before in antiquity. The pagans used to teach what is now being revived in our so-called Christian churches today was just an old teaching they have revived from antiquity. That's what you have. So much of what's being taught today from the pulpit, you can't find a scripture to substantiate it. Can't find a scripture. Can't find a biblical text. And we're getting more and more and more of these people who are taking over the pulpits, who are just spewing nonsense, pagan nonsense. They are rehashing old teachings that were taught by the Druids, by the Babylonians, by the Egyptians. They're called mystery religions. And that stuff is being revived and adopted today. And our pulpits are filled with people who are just teaching this stuff and wowing the crowd. And the crowd is saying amen to everything because the crowd is full of people who carry Bibles who don't read the Bible. So we are being paganized. Pagan. When we think of paganization, we think of human beings as the agents of evil. When we think of paganization, we think of false teaching that comes out of the mouth of humans. Humans are the propagators. They're the ones who proffer these particular teachings. Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day, you make the word of God of none effect. You cause the word of God to become derailed. You cause the word of God not to produce its ultimate result because you are teaching the commandments and the traditions of men. Commandments. These are rules that are of human origin. The commandments of men are rules that have a human origin. A committee sat down and said, okay, these are going to be the rules. And so not only do you have the commandments or the rules of men, but you also have the traditions of men. There are things that are being passed down from generation to generation that sound good but have no biblical basis. Traditions. The greatest example of the commandments and the traditions of men is the Roman Catholic Church. That's the perfect example. It's not the only example, but it is the perfect example of an institution that just puts the Word of God to the side, doesn't use the Word of God at all, and turns to a book called the book, the Code of Canon Law. And in the Code of Canon Law, all you find is the commandments and the traditions of men. They'll tell you why on such and such a holiday you have to wear the green cassock, and why on such and such a holiday you have to wear the white cassock, and why on such a, and you don't find a scriptural basis for the changing of these. First of all, you don't find a Bible verse that tells you you need to have a cassock. That's first of all. And then when you go beyond that, there's not a scriptural mention of the changing of the colors of your costumes when a new religious season comes in. We don't even have religious seasons. When they say, oh, we dress in black during Lent. Well, who told you to wear black? Well, give me a scripture verse that told you to put black on. That's one. And two, give me a Bible verse that mentions the term Lent. Can't find any. All of that is the commandments and the traditions of men. Sounds good, but really it's bondage. And that's paganization. Paganization is when man steps in with his foolishness and binds you. It's called bondage. You're in bondage. And Jesus came to set us free from pagan bondage, human bondage, religious bondage. He whom the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. But now you can see. You can see paganization, especially when you watch these elevation services, because the chief consecrator is quick to remind the audience and those who are present, the chief consecrator is quick to remind everybody that all that is being done according to canon law. When they lift the person up who's kneeling and they say, we just finished consecrating you, and we did it according to canon law, church law. Notice they don't say biblical law because you can't find it in the Bible. It is the commandments and the traditions of men that make the word of God of none effect. We've been paganized. You look at the black church today, the black church is no longer the church you once knew. You visit a black church today, and everybody looks like a Roman Catholic cleric, speaks like a Roman Catholic cleric, acts like a Roman Catholic cleric, and parrots everything that Roman Catholic clerics do. The church has been paganized. And this has been done, the people that you see doing this are the consecrators. You have one chief consecrator and two co-consecrators. Now, folks, where do you read in the Bible that when Paul ordained Timothy, or when Paul and Barnabas ordained the elders, or anyone was being ordained in Scripture, where do you read that there was a chief consecrator and two co-consecrators? Where do you read that? Nowhere. Where do we get that from? The Code of Canon Law. Where did the authors of the Code of Canon Law get that from? Well, they got it from the ancient pagan religions. So it has come into the church. It has infiltrated the church. Now the church is completely paganized. It's completely paganized. Now, where are we today? Well, now the church is being demonized. The demonization of the church. First you have the infiltration. Then you have the paganization. Now you have the demonization. Because not only do you get the commandments and the doctrines of men, now you bargain for doctrines of demons. Let me read to you from the book of Timothy, To be more specific, let us turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. What is the faith? Well, the faith is the Bible. The faith is the teachings of Christ and his apostles. Well, Paul says there's a word of prophecy that you can bank on because it is being brought forth by the Holy Spirit himself. And it is the Holy Spirit who is telling us that in the last days, many shall depart from the teachings of Christ and his apostles. And shall do what? If they're turning their backs, if they're turning their backs on the teachings of Christ and his apostles, which is the faith, then what are they lending their ears to? He says, they're giving heed to seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. Con artist spirits. You know, when you look at the preachers on TV, take your pick. Take your pick. Take Benny Hinn, con artist. Take Rod Parsley, con artist. Take Paula White, con artist. Take Joyce Myers, con artist. Do we need to go on? Do I need to mention Steve Muncy? Do I need to mention George Bloomer? Do I need to mention Juanita Bynum? Do I need to mention Brian Kahn? These are all con artists. Well, there are seducing spirits. There are con artist spirits. There are spirits. There are fallen angels. There are demons who specialize in conning people. They're called seducing spirits. They're good at conning. So when you have a Juanita Bynum talking, behind her is a demon you don't see. See, first you have the paganizer, then you have the demonizer. The demonizer stands behind the paganizer. See, you get flooded with both. The human preacher that you see, the prophetess or the prophet or the apostle or the archbishop or the chief constable, whatever title they go by, they're the front man. They're the one that Satan is using with the public. Behind that person, there is a seducing spirit that just teaches them how to con. And that's why you watch one of these church services and you watch a Benny Hinn make an appeal and you would say to yourself, I would never go up to give him a red cent. But as you continue to watch the video, you will see that thousands of people run up there and give this man money. Well, how is it that you weren't seduced? How is it that you didn't quickly go to the phone to call TBN to make your play? Why is it that you didn't budge from your sofa? But you watch the people in the audience, and they are in a stampede. They can't wait to go up there and give this person the money in his hands. They just can't wait. Because he reminds them, as soon as you sow the seed, as soon as the seed goes into the ground, you activate God. See, the person's being seduced. But that preacher is only the puppet. The puppet master is the demon being. So notice, when Satan infiltrates and he uses a human to paganize, he is using a seducing spirit to demonize. You're getting an entire package. And this is why you're asking yourself, I don't get it. If I see my bishop, if my bishop looks like a clown, if my bishop looks like a, I mean, he's dressed up, he's got his mitre on, he's got his outfit on, I mean, he's walking, he thinks, I mean, he really thinks he's all that. If I can see that he looks like a jackass fool, if I can, why doesn't he, well, because he's been demonized. He's been seduced. He's been seduced. Folks, churches are full of demons today. They are full of demons. When you watch your church, when you watch these churches in action, and you see the preacher, and the preacher's talking just pure nonsense, and at the end the preacher makes an appeal, and you see all those people running up, it's because the church has been infiltrated. Satan has put his man or his gal in the pulpit. That's paganization. And that gal or that guy in the pulpit who is Satan's front man is being operated, controlled, manipulated, and mentored by a seducing spirit who teaches the preacher how to seduce the members. So you have infiltration. Then you have paganization. Satan has got to put his set man, his set woman there, who are pagans. And then once he puts the set man, set woman there, who is now given over to teaching the commandments and the traditions of men, as you listen, folks, you don't believe me? Go to your YouTube page and click Bishop, type in Bishop's Consecrations, and you listen to those videos, and you'll see how they say, we are doing this according to canon law. Well, go to your library and just go to the religious section. If you have a good public library in your area, just go to the religious section and ask them. Or go to the say, where's the Encyclopedia Britannica? Where is your show me your reference works. Check out any encyclopedia you want. Go to the religious section. If they have a copy, if they have a 16-volume set of the Roman Catholic Encyclopedia, just look at it. You'll see. What is canon law? Canon law is nothing more than the command. They'll tell you. These are the commandments and the traditions of men. And you read what they, and when you read what they're pushing in canon law, you'll say, wait a minute. This is a pagan practice. This came from that religion, and this came from this other religion, and this came from this other. And that's all it is. It's man playing God. That's what paganism is. Man playing God. Man setting up religious rules, which man has no business doing. You know, the Ten Commandments that Moses gave to the children of Israel, he didn't write them. The Ten Commandments, called the Torah, the Torah, the law. Moses, they call it the law of Moses. It's not the law of Moses. It's the law of God. God gave it to Moses so that Moses could give it to the people. Moses didn't come up with these laws himself. God gave Moses the Torah. Code of canon law is man giving to man commandments and traditions. Now, when you attach to that demons, now you're not talking about operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're talking about operating in the power of demons. And this is why Paul says the Holy Spirit is telling us, and he writes this down in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He says, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is speaking expressly, is speaking clearly, definitively. He is saying that in the latter times, in the last days, some, not all, some shall depart from the faith. They will depart from the teachings of Christ and his apostles, and they will give heed to seducing spirits, con artist spirits. And not only con artist spirits, but then he goes on to say the Holy Spirit does, and doctrines of demons. Demons. What are demons? Well, demons are the spirits that specialize in polluting. In polluting. So you have spirits who con you, and then you have spirits who say, it's okay, be gay. It's okay, be lesbian. It's okay, be a fornicator. It's okay, be an adulterer. It's okay, you can sleep around. You can get yourself in as much filth as you want to. Haven't you noticed that today in the church, God wants to bless you, but there's no holiness attached to it? Haven't you noticed that in the holiness churches, they no longer speak about holiness? When was the last time you heard a sermon in which the preacher talked about God saying, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord? Oh, they're holiness churches in name only. They're holiness churches in history only. But they no longer practice holiness. Why? Because the church has been infiltrated, has been flooded by demons. Demons who con and demons who pollute. Demonization. And this is why, you know, people say to me, but how is it that these people run up? I mean, the preachers have said, those of you get on the $1,000 line, and I mean, and 50 people got up, 50 people with $1,000. How did they run up there? Seducing spirits. And then when you look at those people's lives, each and every one of them is involved in a scandal. Each and every one of them. I mean, Juanita Bynum, the prophetess, the ambassador of prayer, the new bishop, Juanita Bynum, she went on radio and talked about how she slept with a lot of men and she slept with a lot of women. Juanita Bynum attended the ordination of a gay minister. And what did that do for her? What did that do for the ambassador of prayer? What did that do for the prophetess? What did that do for the bishop elect? I mean, it bumped her up. I mean, she got more engagements. More engagements. Because look, folks, it is seducing spirits and doctrines, the teachings of what? Demons. Demons, as we will see tomorrow, because I don't want to get ahead of myself, because remember, it's a five-part series that we're doing. We did infiltration. We did paganization. We're doing demonization right now, but tomorrow is contamination. Once the demons come in, that's it. It's Pig City. Everybody's in the slop. Everybody's rolling in the mud once the demons come in. Folks, look. Turn with me to Revelation 16. Turn with me to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. Revelation 16. And in Revelation 16, where is my scripture here? Revelation 16. Bear with me 1 second, saints. Just had my scriptures here lined up. Revelation 16, verse 12. Revelation 16, 12. And the sixth angel poured out his veil upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits. What kind of spirits are they, saints? Revelation 16, 13. What kind of spirits are they? Unclean spirits, like frogs. If you remember in the book of Exodus, the frogs, one of the plagues was frogs. And the frogs were nasty, and the frogs were promoting filthiness, right? Okay, so I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of whom? The dragon. The dragon released out of his mouth, Satan himself. Satan himself, according to Revelation 12, 9, the dragon is Satan. Well, an unclean spirit, he released, he birthed, if you will, a spirit, an unclean, that came out of his mouth. And then one unclean spirit came out of the mouth of the beast or the Antichrist. And another unclean spirit came out of the mouth of whom? The false prophet. So notice, these are three major unclean spirits. And who burped them out? The dragon burped one out, the Antichrist burped another one out, and the false prophet burped another one out, right? Okay. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world. You see what they do? They infiltrate. Once they're let go, their assignment is to go in to all the world. So notice. It's only after the dragon releases his unclean demon, after the Antichrist releases his unclean demon, after the false prophet releases his unclean demon, that this is chapter 16. In chapter 17, what do we have? What do we have in chapter 17? Well, we have in chapter 17, verse 5, we have the harlot church. You don't have the harlot church. You do not have the harlot church. You do not have the filthy church. You do not have the contaminated church. You do not have the prostitute church. You do not have the sow church, like the sow who likes to wallow in the mire, according to 2 Peter 2:20. You don't have the woman who takes a bath and then runs to roll into the mud. No. You don't have her. She doesn't appear on the scene until first the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet burp, release three unclean spirits. Because after demonization, once the demons are let loose, once the demons have their way, then comes contamination. Folks, look, you don't think the church has been demonized? Why is it that those shows, preachers from LA and preachers of Detroit, which is complete rubbish, those programs, those the preachers of Detroit and the preachers of LA, all of that is flesh on steroids. That's what that is. Flesh on steroids. Haven't you noticed how there's a lot of celebration going on in your church? A lot of elevations going on in your church? But there is no what? There is no holiness. Why? Because the Holy Spirit already told us that in the last days, there were going to be demons released. Demons were going to start going to work. And they were going to specialize in conning and in polluting. And when you see a bishop dressed up like a jackass, that man's been conned. And when you see your fellow church members applauding him, bowing before him or her, kissing their Episcopal ring, you already know that not only has he been turned into a jackass, but the congregation is loaded with jackasses. Seducing spirits have already done their job. Now, what is left? What is left after seducing spirits? Then you have contaminating spirits. So we've been demonized. The church, And you can see how sin is on the rise, how there is no talk of holiness, how there is no moral standard anymore. You can you look at Eddie Long. Did Eddie Long lose his pulpit? Did the Bishop Eddie Long lose his pulpit? Paula White, you know, Paula White gets caught with Benny Hinn, a married man. The pictures are taken on the National Enquirer. The hotel room is listed. Both of them are staying at the same hotel room. She is caught. He's caught. Does Paula White lose her church? No. Does Benny Hinn lose his church? No. Marcus Lamb, the president, founder of the Daystar Network. He has a seven-year ongoing, relationship with a secretary there at Daystar, a seven-year ongoing adulterous relationship. He goes on TV, he confesses, the next day he's back raising money. Seducing spirits, polluting demons. That's what you have. That's how we know demonization is in full swing. Demonization is in full swing. It's only after, look, folks, Satan has let the demons loose. The Holy Spirit has given us a heads up. And by the way, that scripture that I read to you in Revelation 16:13, that hasn't even come to pass. You know why that hasn't? You know how with the scripture that says that the dragon let out a frog out of his mouth and the Antichrist let, you know, and the false prophet out. You know why that hasn't come to pass? Because the Antichrist is not here, is not manifested, and the false prophet is in. You know, you think things are bad now. You think the moral bar is low now in our churches. Wait till when the Antichrist shows up. Wait when the false prophet shows up. And no one's going to talk about moral standards. We are already, see, the demons are already at work preparing the church, the apostate church, to receive Antichrist. Listen, demons are already preparing. Then when the Antichrist and the false prophet show up and the dragon, when the unholy Trinity releases three major polluting demons, it's all over for holiness. You thought it was bad now. Those three frog demons haven't been released yet. That hasn't happened. You think it's bad now in the black church? You think it's bad now with the purple and the scarlet robes and the mitres and the funny hats and all? You haven't seen anything yet. That's yet to happen. We are starting to see the initial signs. We are starting to see it because Satan has already infiltrated. He already started to paganize and he already started to demonize. But you ain't seen nothing yet. Satan's agenda is not yet in full swing. This is only the beginning of how bad things are going to get. This is only the beginning. I want to encourage you, saints. I want to encourage you to tell people about this broadcast. This broadcast is an evangelistic broadcast. There's a lot of people who need to hear this kind of a message every day. They need to be warned to be saved. You're not going to get this kind of a teaching in your local church. Your pastor isn't going to talk about these things. He's part of the establishment. He is part of the infiltration, paganization, demonization, contamination, annihilation program. He is one of the double agents. Can you tell people about this broadcast? Can you tell them about what we teach here? I'm praying. I'm believing God that we're going to be able to reach hundreds and thousands. Because we are in the end times. And you know that what I'm saying is true. We just looked at that scripture, 1 Timothy 4:1, how there would be seducing spirits and they would begin to teach the doctrines or the teachings of demons, demons that pollute. Years ago in the Holiness Church, they would teach that if you wanted to live, if you wanted to have the blessings of God, you had to live holy. They don't teach that anymore. Today, if you want to have the blessings of God, just so. They don't care how you live, just so. Put your seed in the ground. And I'm here to tell you, keep your seed in your pocket. Keep your money in your pocket, but live holy. Live holy. Live holy. For without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that you can live in the mud and then be invited to the wedding of the Lamb. Don't kid yourself. That's not going to happen. There is a five-step plan. There is a five-step agenda that Satan has set in motion to destroy the church from within. It's called infiltration, paganization, demonization. Tomorrow we're going to deal with contamination, and Lord willing, the day after that, annihilation. I need you to help me reach as many people as possible and tell them about this broadcast. Because I'm on the air, I'm trying to come on the air every day to throw folk, to throw my brothers and sisters a lifeline. No, you're not going crazy. No, you're not out of step with God. In fact, you have a lot of discernment. The fact that you're the oddball in your church, the fact that you're not applauding the foolishness, the very fact that you have taken a stand means that you're one of God's elect. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, another they will not follow. The fact that you're not following is an indication that you're not crazy. In fact, you're very sane. You're very spiritually sane. This broadcast is for the remnant. Do you know any remnant folk out there? Do you know any folk who left the church? Do you know any folk who are just at home reading their Bibles? They've given up a place to go to. They've tried searching for a church. Send them here. Send them to this broadcast until they find a church. I'll feed them by the grace of God. I'll feed them every day. I'll do my best to make some sense of the madness. It's not bad yet. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. They're ordaining gays in the church. Juanita Bynum attended a gay. It's on YouTube. And her invitations, her calendar is booked to the hilt. You would think that if you attend a gay ordination, you're done, you're finished. Because that's what happened. That's what happened to Carlton Pearson, Bishop Carlton Pearson, by the way, when he began to preach his universal doctrine that everybody's going to be saved. Oh, they kicked him out of the church. Well, in essence, Juanita Bynum is preaching the same thing. She's not kicked out of the church. She's getting more bookings. that just tells you how far gone we are. But it's only scratching the surface. Because once the dragon releases his frog, and once the Antichrist releases his frog, and once the false prophet releases his frog, their evil spirits, will plummet into human degradation. Don't forget to tell others about the book. I love you in Jesus. I want to leave you with a song right before I leave. And the song is an oldie, a goodie, a timeless song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. You know, when was the last time you prayed? When was the last time you got along with the Lord? When was the last time you spent a good time talking to Jesus? Give yourself over to prayer. You know, one of the things that's going to make you strong is not just reading the Bible. Reading the Bible's fine. Listening to this broadcast is fine. But if you listen to this broadcast and you fail to pray, you're sinning. Nothing can substitute your prayer life with the Lord. Nothing. And that sweet hour, it's not a sweet 15 hours of prayer. The hymn doesn't say it's a sweet 2 hours. Can you just try giving Jesus 1 hour of prayer? Can you start there? Can you give him 1 sweet hour of conversation? 1 sweet hour of intimacy? You know, Jesus, when he was in his passion in Gethsemane, he turned to his disciples and said, "You couldn't pray with me for 1 hour?" And I think the Lord is saying that to us today. We can't give him 1 hour, but yet we turn to the broadcast Jackass News and we listen for 2 hours a day, but we can't give the Lord 1 hour? Saints, Let's revive our prayer life. Let's get reconnected to the Lord. Let's reestablish at least 1 hour of prayer with Christ each and every day. Can you try that? Will you attempt it? You will. I pray that you do. Because it's going to help you survive these tough days. One sweet hour of prayer will give you the power to overcome 23 hours of hell. One sweet hour of prayer will arm you with so much power that you can take the other 23 hours and take on the devil and his demons. One sweet hour. You know I love you in the Lord. Pray for me as I pray for you. Don't forget to send in your endorsements for the book Jackass Bishops so we can post them. If you haven't bought your copy of Jackass Bishops, just go to the website, paganbishops.com. And by the way, there is a special. You can buy 10 copies. You can buy 10. You can order. Let me put it that way. You can order 10 PDF copies of Jackass Bishops and get a $5 discount for each one. You can order 10 copies for $100. You'll be saving $50. And all you have to do is send the emails of 10 different people, and we will get those 10 different people the copy of the book. So help out. Order the book. Be a blessing to others. And don't forget, give the Lord 1 sweet hour of prayer. And believe you me, when you give the Lord 1 sweet hour of prayer, you're going to be giving yourself the greatest gift of that day. I love you in Jesus. Tune in tomorrow as we talk about step number 4, which is contamination. God bless you.